السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم بشهاداتهم قائمون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك في جنات مكرمون صدق الله العظيم. In the previous ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of certain qualities that human beings created with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us to correct those things and work on those to learn how to use these qualities for only good and not to use them for the evils. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Human being is created very impatient. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. He panics whenever gets a hardship, and whenever he gets something good, tries to hold it back to himself. If we look at the children, infants, when the infants need something, you just heard the cry of a child. Why the child is crying for? The child needs something. Something is going against what he likes to see. Either the child is hungry or thirsty or doesn't like the weather. He's too hot, too cold. Something that the child does not like starts crying for him. If a human being does not work on him or herself to correct our qualities, to correct our habits, we grow with the same habits that throughout our life, whenever we start desiring something, we cry for it. We want to have it. I must get it. And if we don't get it, we panic, we complain, we cry, and we do everything we can in our life in order to get it. It's not a good quality. The quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah, and the habit that he wanted the ummah and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to adopt was, if you get something, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. If you don't get it, you never complain. Complaining is one of the worst qualities and worst habits, we should say, of a human being. Some people have so much habit of complaining that all the time they will have something to complain about. In their home, complain against their wives, against their children. Children complain against their parents. Outside of their home, workplace, they have complain against people. It's a habit that some people have. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in these ayahs, and He is calling this habit in Quran, in the Quranic term, halur. Innal insana khuliqa halu'a. Insan, human being, is created with that habit of complaining for everything that he does not like, crying for things that he does not would like to see, does not like to see. And whenever he sees something good, he never takes it the same way. He never takes it the same way. When he did not get something good, he was complaining. But isn't it part of the life to get good and bad? It's part of the life. Is there anyone exempted from having difficult situations in the life? No. Then why do we panic? If I like to get everything good, then of course the bad will come with it too. So this is one of the worst qualities that we have. Complain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these ayahs that human being naturally is created with that type of quality, because there is a certain age in the childhood. The child must have those qualities. The child must cry for getting things. If the child won't cry, parents won't know the need of the child. But that's only for a certain period of time, and after that, human beings should start changing that habit. And this is showing us the responsibility of the parents. Parents are responsible to make sure path of upbringing of the children, that whatever habits, qualities do not suit the human beings, and we are created with those, parents are responsible to make sure that the children do not continue with those type of habits. Just like parents will make sure the child will stop breastfeeding after a certain age, will not continue with it. It's necessary for a child to have it at that age, but after a certain age, he cannot have it anymore. Let the child cry as much as he wants. Now the cry won't work. Now we have to teach the child that even if you would cry, you won't get it. Before, you are getting it without crying for it. Now even after crying, we won't give it to you. That's not your time anymore. That's it. That time is over. Now you better stop crying for this. Now you do what we are asking you to do. Now we tell you this is good, you go for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all different creatures according to their needs. Human beings have their parents who can teach them, have people around them who can teach them. So therefore, He did not put it in our nature that this is haram. A child who have not studied Islam will not know that pork is haram, so therefore I should refrain from it. He won't know the difference between the pork and beef. Unless someone would tell the child, no, this is not a good. Same thing, there are many food items that are not good, healthy for the children. And the children won't know that this is not good for us. You put a bottle of medicine in front of the child, he might try to eat all of it. And it happens a lot. Children swallow all the medicine. So the children don't know what is good and bad for them. But if we look at the animals, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in their nature to know from the time they were born what is good and what is bad for them. If you see a group of goats that are going following the shepherd, and there is a dog also with them, the dog finds a bone and tries to chew the bone, goats won't try to do that. They won't even touch the bone. Why? Which book did they read telling them that this is not your food? And all the cattle are out there, and they are eating the grass. The dog is around them. He never even tries to smell it. Which book informed him that this grass is not your food? You see a group of chicks going to the ocean, and if they have a duck with them, The duck is going to jump into the ocean. But all the chicks and the chickens will not try to go into the ocean. Who told them that this is not for you, only the duck can swim in there and you will be drowned? Who told them that? And here we find our children, we have to tell them 100 times that don't go into the water. And we have to be just running after them. That you can't jump into the water, you can't go into that pool. That's too deep for you. And they will still cry. So, those creatures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with the qualities and with the knowledge, information about themselves that they will need because they do not have any other source of learning and of knowledge. But when it comes to human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the knowledge. And because of this knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put it in our nature that this is halal and this is haram. This is healthy and this is unhealthy. That's something that we have to find out. And we have to study. We have to ask. And the first responsibility is of parents to make sure that the children will refrain from things that are not good for them. So with all the habits that we have to work on our habits. Each and every human being, remember, without any exception, each and every human being has to work on his and her habits to correct them, to fix them, to make the right use of them. We all have a habit of getting angry. None of us can say, I never get angry. We all have that habit of getting angry. But when to get angry? We have to learn that. If we won't, we will be getting angry at the wrong place. We all have a habit of considering ourselves better, loving our bodies, loving our souls, and that leads to arrogance. But how to use this arrogance? There is a right use for it also. What's the right use for the arrogance? We have to learn it. The battlefield, and in front of your enemies, try to be as arrogant as you want. But you come out to the Muslims, and you are in the masjid, now you try to be arrogant. That's something unacceptable in Islam. So we all have to work on our habits. There are certain things that we are created with. And there is always a right use for them. This is why we have it. But if we won't correct them, we won't know the right use of them. And we will continue using them the wrong way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةِ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ We offered this trust. What is this trust? The deen of Allah. To the heaven, to the earth, and to the mountains. We ask the heaven, can you carry the deen of Allah? The heaven said, Ya Allah, I cannot practice. It's too difficult. I can't. We presented it to the mountains, that you are strong. Can you carry this deen of Allah? They said, we can. We offer the earth, the whole universe. Can you carry the deen of Allah? They said, no. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا They were afraid to carry it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ Human being said, I would. Why did the human being say, I would? After hearing this, that, Alhamdulillah, we did great. Isn't it? That the thing that the heaven, earth, mountains were not able to carry, we went ahead and we said, Ya Allah, we would do it. So now we hope that Allah will pat our backs and will say, great, you people did great. But what is it that He's telling us after doing this? He says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا He was extremely ignorant and extremely wrongdoer. he gives us these two names, Zaloom and Jahul. Zaloom is driven from the word Zulm. Zulm means oppression, doing something wrong. And Zaloom is the extreme of Zulm, that he was extremely Zalim, wrongdoer. And Jahul is driven from Jahl. Jahl is ignorance. And Jahul means extremely ignorant. Why Allah is telling us that you are extremely wrongdoer and extremely ignorant, and we are the ones who said we will carry this deen of Allah? Remember, Allah is not cursing at us. He's not cursing us, why did you make this mistake? In fact, He is telling us that the reason human beings had the ability of carrying the deen of Allah is because of these two things. Because by nature, human being is extremely wrongdoer and extremely ignorant. And after carrying the deen of Allah, he will become extremely knowledgeable and extremely just. To tell us that without learning this deen and without learning it from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be always doing wrong. And we will be always practicing ignorance, jahiliyyah. At the same time, the ayah is informing us that mountains, do you call a mountain jahil, ignorant? It doesn't have the ability of learning. The thing that does not have the ability of opposite, you cannot say it doesn't have this evil. Since it cannot be scholar, we cannot call it ignorant. So if it is ignorant, try to teach it. And if you cannot teach it and mountains cannot learn anything, then you cannot call the mountains jahil, ignorant. But human being will be called jahil, ignorant. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us jahil, so that He tells us that you are by nature, when you are created, you are jahil, ignorant. Until you learn my book and the ways of my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will become very knowledgeable. And this is the beauty of the word of Allah, that Allah does not just say that you are ignorant. He says you are extremely ignorant, to tell us that you can be extremely knowledgeable, not just knowledgeable. So when you have a little knowledge, don't be satisfied with your little knowledge. Just like you were extremely ignorant, try to be extremely knowledgeable also. As you are extremely unjust, because we don't know how to rule. So learn so much that you will be extremely just. And what is the justice? The main justice is by fixing our qualities, our own habits. If a person does not fix his own habits, will never be able to be just in his life. We all might feel that I'm good, I consider situations. And all of a sudden something happens that we do not like to see. Don't we lose temper? And especially the times when you know that you can get your anger out. You can react. That's the time you will see the person reacting so bad. This person who feels that has a good control over himself and very knowledgeable, very just person, and I always know what I'm doing. At any time, imagine if a person comes and will curse us on our face. You are like this, you are ignorant, you are this. What is it that you're going to say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in saying, Ya Rasulullah, allow us to do something to these kuffar. They're always cursing at you. Ya Rasulullah, we can't take it anymore. A good opportunity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people who have been cursing at him for the last 15-20 years, Now here he has some followers who are willing to stop them from doing that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to those people, why do you worry about them? يَزُمُّونَ مُزَمَّمًا وَأَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ. When these people curse, they used to change in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad means the person who's always been admired. So the, as a curse, they used to change his name and they used to call him Muzammam, the person who has been accused and cursed all the time. So they used to say, you know, like that Muzammam is doing this, that Muzammam is doing this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, these people are always being cursing on Muzammam. I don't know who that Muzammam is. My name is Muhammad, so don't worry about them. See how he's trying to solve the situation? That they're cursing at someone else. There might be someone who's Muzammam. I'm not Muzammam, I'm Muhammad. So don't worry about what they have to say. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this ayah. And specifically he's mentioning some quality, some habits that we are created with, and we have to work on them to correct them, to fix them. And if we won't, then we will have a lot of hardships in this life and the akhirah, wal-ayazu billah. And not only that, Allah tells us to fix them, He also tells us the way how to fix them. He tells us what are the things that we are supposed to do in order to take care of these habits that do not belong to us, that we are not supposed to practice them at all the times, that we are not supposed to have them as part of our lifestyle. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of the worst things human beings have, and this is in fact part of our nature, we need it at the beginning age, but later on we have to work on it to correct it. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. He uses the word halur as a name of that habit, and what's the explanation of halur? إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. The explanation of halur is that he panics whenever he gets a hardship and tries to hold everything back for himself whenever he gets something good. That's something that we normally have it. As I said, from childhood we have those things. You see children, when they have small toys, they like to keep them to themselves. And the small car that they have, they play with, if you take the car and you break the tire of that car, see how much the child is going to cry. Same thing as we grow up. Just according to our age, we have bigger toys now. And we keep on worrying about these big toys now. Children have small homes that they play with. We have bigger toys that we always worry about. Weekend, I have to make sure that I have to clean my backyard, put some flowers, summer is coming, do all of this, and winter is coming, so prepare for winter. So preparing, working on our homes, making sure that everything is up to date. These are our toys that we always worry about. After having these, we spend most of our time behind and after these things to protect them. Wealth is something like that. When it comes with a lot of difficulty. And after it comes, it takes a lot of time and energy. Of course, we have to maintain our properties and our assets, but we cannot neglect our responsibilities towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards Allah and towards His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of these things. If we are realizing that homes are valuable, cars are valuable, all of these assets are valuable, isn't the deen of Allah valuable also? If it is valuable, don't we see people trying to demolish it? Don't we see people who are trying to break it day and night? More than what the weather is hurting our homes, there is more than that that people are trying to hurt the deen of Allah. So what's the value of it? How many weekends we have spent for it? How much of our free time that we sat and thought about it? How many times we cared about it? How many times as a family we got together and we said we'll do something about it? See, this is exactly what Allah says. That after getting whatever we need now, manu'a, we just like to hold this money back to ourselves, our wealth back, just trying to take care of our assets and our properties, and that's the whole worry in our life. So Allah says, you better fix it. And the way of fixing it, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except for those who perform their prayers, who perform the salah. And not just to do the salah. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never uses the word doing a salah in Quran. He either uses the word iqamatu salah, and the word iqama means perfectly performing it, not just doing it. Most of us, we do the prayers. You know what does this mean? We all know our prayers, and we know, I'm sure we all know what does it mean. In fact, what does establishing the prayer means, we may not know that one. Because as soon as we start the salah, the worry is, when is it going to finish? Keep on looking at our watches if we are behind the imam and he starts a long surah. Now the worry is, when is it going to finish? Sitting in front of the TV watching one of those football games, you hope it will go for longer. And you keep on looking at the watch. Oh, it went so fast. And you come to the salah. And the imam gets into a longer surah. He's in trouble. It's getting too long today. 5 minutes in one rak'ah. And over there, oh, it was only an hour game. Only an hour game. And people went to watch the movie, and 3 hours it was done, and 3 hours went just like 5 minutes. This was a smaller movie. It went too fast. And in the masjid, the time, the watch is just like someone have stopped our watches, and they are not willing to continue. They are not going ahead with the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was mentioning, He never asked us to do the prayer that just get up and ups and downs and quickly finish it and run out of the masjid. In fact, He always used the word aqimu salah, perfectly establish the prayer. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts some conditions. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, that those people who perform the salah will be able to correct these habits, but provided الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, who are regular in performing the salah, who are always regular, constant on performing the salah, they never miss the salah, delay the salah from its time. They do it in its proper time. They do not make it qada. They perform it within the proper time of the salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And really, salah is one of the things that can affect your whole life. If you learn how to perform the salah properly, you will be able to manage everything properly in your life. If in salah we learn how to stand in the saf with other people, in the same line where everyone is standing there, then we will learn how to be with every group of people in our life, and how to deal with all groups of people. We won't be ashamed to stand with certain group of people. This is what salah is teaching us. In salah, if we learn how to follow the imam, then in our regular life we will learn how to follow our elders also. Imam goes into the ruku', we go with into the ruku'. Ask the scholars and ask those who know the deen of Al-Islam that you haven't finished reciting the surah that you studied, and the imam went into the ruku'. Are you supposed to finish it or you follow the imam? Everyone will tell you follow the imam. You were in qada. You did not finish the tashahud. And the imam finishes the salam, says the salam. You are not allowed to continue anymore. You have to follow the imam. Just do the salam. Finish your salah. If we learn these things, then we will learn that a person who is responsible for anything in our life, when he tells us that this is how I want this thing to happen, then we are not going to say, because of the other thing, I'm not done with the other work, let me finish that thing first. Now you have to follow. Salah is teaching us that. If Salah will teach us, and if we learn how to perform the Salah properly, and you learn and we learn how to keep our gaze down during Salah, how to control our eyes during Salah, then throughout our life, when we are out in the markets, at workplace, anywhere out, we will learn how to control our gaze. Then we will be able to have a proper control over our eyesight. But normally we fail to do that because even during Salah we are looking here and there. How many times we get disturbed in our life because of a lot of things are coming together and they are jumping on us at once. The person is totally disturbed. And we are not able to do any work. If we realize that, how to solve it? In Salah, if we learn how to concentrate in Salah, then we will learn how to get a concentration in other works also. A student who says he cannot concentrate on his studies because he has some other things to do, if he learns how to concentrate in his Salah, he will learn how to concentrate in his study, on his studies also. So Salah is teaching us all of these things, and it's affecting the whole life. And imagine, 5 times a day, a person will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cleaning himself, washing himself from all the sins, and will stand before Allah with the full respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hands are folded, raising his hands at the takbir, Allahu Akbar, throwing the whole world behind him. And now folds his hand and with full respect to Allah, he stands over there. And now, after admiring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes further to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means talking to Allah. And then he feels that I should pay more respect to Allah, so he bows down and goes into the ruku'. Now he feels this is not enough. He gets up and goes all the way down to the sujood. Isn't this teaching us a lot of respect for the deen of Allah and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If 5 times a day we will concentrate on this ibadah, we will have a lot of more importance of the deen of Allah than what we already have now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore is saying to correct your habits. First thing you have to do, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, become regular on your salah, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Second thing, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ, those who have a fixed portion of their wealth, a sign for who? لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Sa'il means beggars, those who ask, and mahroom, those who do not ask. Mahroom means a person who is not given anything. And Quran uses the word mahroom for those who do not beg, because there are so many people around us who are in need, but they are ashamed to ask. They won't feel like coming to you and telling you, this is my need. It reminds me, one of the tabi'een had one of his friends knocking at his door. In those days, they did not have the banks. They used to keep the money either at their homes or they would bury it somewhere out in the desert and keep a mark over there that this is why, where they have buried their wealth. He had all of his assets at his home, that was 30,000 dinars of the time, which means $30,000. One of his close friends came and knocked at his door and explained some of his needs to him and made him realize that he was in extreme need. And then only he came and knocked at his door. He gave him the whole bag of the $30,000 and went back, sat back at his home. When the friend left, he was crying. His wife asked him, "Why are you crying? Why did you give him the money if you had to cry for it?" He said, "This is not what I'm crying for. I'm crying for that my close friend in such a need, and I did not even find out myself that this is his need. He had to come and ask me for it. What is it that I'm going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? That I had this money sitting at my home for all of this time, and I don't know for how long he had to wait and think before he would come and ask me for it. And I did not find it out myself." لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Look at the words of Allah. That Allah is talking to us. That as we give to those who ask, we have to find even those who do not ask and they are in need. This simply means wealth is coming, is a blessing of Allah, but remember, it's coming with responsibilities. We have families, alhamdulillah, they are coming with responsibilities. We have children, is a blessing of Allah, but we all know the great responsibility we have towards our children. And God forbid anyone fails, even the punishment is very severe for that. Same thing, the wealth comes with a lot of responsibilities. And this is one of the responsibilities that the wealth comes with. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That as it comes, then there has to be a fixed portion of our wealth to be given out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, zakah is there. Other than zakah, there has to be something that we should be ready to give it at any time for those who would beg and who are in need and will come and present their needs to us. And even for those who are ashamed to present their needs to us, then we have to find those people one way or other and give it to those people. One of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated a story of the past nation in the hadith. A person was traveling. During his journey, he heard a voice from the cloud that someone is saying to the cloud, "Go and stand raining in the garden of Mr. So-and-so." And as soon as he heard that voice from the cloud started walking towards one direction. So this person started walking in the same direction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, when he, at a certain point, the cloud stopped and it started raining. As it was raining, the whole rainwater was getting into a garden of a person who was then standing over there and trying to distribute the water throughout the garden. So he went and asked that person for his name. That person said, "What do you want to do with my name?" So he said, he told him that, he said, "This is your name?" He said, "Yes." "But why did you ask my name and how did you know my name?" And he narrated the whole story to him. He said, "This is what I heard, the voice from the cloud, and then I saw the cloud coming towards this direction. It started raining and all of this water is coming into your garden only. So you are the only person who's benefiting from this rain." And then he asked him, "Can you tell me the reason for having this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" He said, "Since you mentioned the whole story, so I will tell you the reason also. I have decided that whatever income I get from this garden, I divide that into three portions. One portion goes back into the same business. one portion I spend it on my family. And one portion, one third goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rule of my life. I would never use all of it for myself. So in other words, two thirds for himself and one third for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, these ayahs and these ahadith are teaching us the best way of giving donations is we should fix some amount of our monthly income. Whatever income we have, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, we should have some fixed amount. We can give more than that, but at least that much should be given, irrespective of what the amount is. But at least there should be some amount that we know this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of my needs. We all will have a lot of needs. And shaitan will always make it too difficult for us to give that out. But if we have assigned a portion, then we know that this much is not for me. And remember, I'm not talking about zakat. That's 2.5% over the saving of a whole year, that's different. We are talking about of monthly, this is lissa'ili wal mahroom, haqqum ma'loom. As many of the mufassirin and sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in have said, that haqqum ma'loom means is something that a person would spend in his day-to-day life or on a monthly basis. So either we fix like $1 a day, $2 a day, over a period of 1 month, or different people have different incomes. Every person according to his income, we can fix, for example, say 5%, 10%. What is it, 5%? In other words, we are taking 95% for ourselves and 5% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It still sounds too much. 90% for ourselves and only 10% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It still sounds too much. And this is what haqqum ma'loom means. That's some fixed amount. And this is, of course, we are not talking as a fariḍa. We are not saying this is fard. But as a way of getting better and closer to the deen of Allah. Of course, we all know it. If we fix certain amount that we give it to a person, one of our neighbors, one of our close relatives, some of your people and friends that you know is in need, and you every month you just go and, for example, $50 here. This is a gift from me. And every month you go and give them $50, for example. Won't that develop a close relationship between you and him? That person knows that he's helping me when I'm in need, and every month he's regularly, alhamdulillah, supporting me, and that's taking care of a lot of my needs. If we keep on giving it for the sake of Allah, won't that create a close relationship between us and the deen of Allah? Because we are doing it for the sake of Allah. Wouldn't that establish that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates these things more than a human being would appreciate it. And of course, he does not use it for himself. But he appreciates these things more than what anyone of us can appreciate anything from others. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. What does ash-shakur mean? Shakur means to thank. Does Allah thank us? This is simply what it means, that Allah appreciates Allah more than anyone else when anything is done for His sake and for the sake of His deen. And a good example of this will be the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he tells us, human being, whenever he performs any good deed, he gets the reward for it, and the angels will write the reward for it. Except illa sawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, except for the fasting. That I do not allow the angels to write the reward of fasting. Angels, all they do is that they write that this person was fasting, that's all. They do not write how many rewards are you getting by fasting. You recited Quran, they would write how much reward you get. You perform the salah, they would write how many rewards that you get by performing the salah. Any other good deeds, they would write it. But when you fast, They do not write how many rewards did you get for fasting. They only write that you are fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ except for fasting, because فَإِنَّهُ لِي that was for me, and I would reward for it myself. The reason is, if you go home, after you go back from here, and you find out that your family members, your wife, your children, they did not have the dinner, and you ask them why, we were waiting for you. How happy are you going to feel? If you call them, before coming over here, that go ahead, I'm going to be late today. Go ahead and have dinner. And she says, no, don't worry about it, I'll wait for you. And you call her again, that go ahead and have eat your dinner because I will be even a little later. No, I'm not going to eat, I'll wait for you. And now as you're going back home, and you call her, did you have dinner, I'm coming back. And she says, no, I'm waiting for you. How happy we feel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He delayed His dinner, His lunch, everything for me for about 8-9 hours. Won't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciate that? So He says to the angels, don't write no reward for it. I'm going to reward the person on the Day of Judgment myself. He delayed His meal for me. He did not eat because for my sake. So He delayed it for myself, for my sake. I'm going to deal with Him. I'm going to give it to Him. I will reward Him. I know what to give Him now. فَإِنَّهُ لِي that's for me, and I would reward for it. He says to the angels, don't write any reward for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates our service to Him more than any other human being will appreciate it. Although He does not have to. And we are not doing any favor to Him by doing anything good. It's only we are doing good favor to ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one of the responsibilities towards our wealth is that there should be some fixed amount لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ for those who beg and those who do not beg but they are in need. This was the second quality. Number three, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ those who believe in the Day of Judgment. Which simply means they keep the Day of Judgment in their mind. They remember that there will be a day that they will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The judgments of these lives mean nothing. Courts of these lives mean nothing. Although they make us worry a lot, but they are nothing. Comparing to the judgment of the Day of Judgment, when the judge will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no lawyers except for our deeds that will talk on our behalf. And everything wrong will be presented up front. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ those who fear the punishment of the Lord. It's not that they get satisfied. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing enough for my deen, so I should be doing good. I should be okay. They are always afraid. We have to really look into our souls. Do we really fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At the time of committing a sin, at the time when our eyes are stuck with something haram, for continuously 3 hours sitting in the movie, in the theater and watching at those haram things, does the thought ever comes to our mind for a second that if Allah gets upset and He pulls my eyesight away now, what would it happen? What if Allah will take my eyesight away because of as a punishment because I'm watching at something that's haram? The eyes are stuck with those haram for hours. And no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sitting in gatherings and blaming peoples of the whole world. Cursing at people, backbiting people. With all of that, we don't fear for a second. What if a punishment will come and will just take the power of a speech away from me? This is a punishment. And this is something that goes with the fear of Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest person in this ummah. He used to say, I wish if I was a branch of a tree that would be cut off and just be thrown away in the garbage. And no one would even care about it. but at least won't have to stand before Allah for judgment on the Day of Judgment. Sometimes he used to look at the birds and used to say, I wish I was this bird who would just spend a short time and then die and doesn't have to worry about the Day of Judgment. And one day Umar radiallahu anhu went to the masjid to find out that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the middle of the night, standing in the mihrab where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand and lead the salah. He's standing over there and pulling his tongue. He said, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? He was crying and pulling his tongue. Abu Bakr, what are you doing? He said, this tongue makes me commit a lot of sins. This is the tongue of a Siddiq, the most truthful person, who's so much worried about his tongue. There were scholars of Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, have named those people who used to, for 30 years, 40 years of their life, whatever they would speak, they would write it down. And then at the end of the day, they would go back to judge themselves, to go through the whole list of the things that they have spoken the whole day. That is there anything that's wrong and that was not needed? Because angels are writing it. Whether we write it or not, they are writing it, and that will be presented to us on the Day of Judgment anyway. We better judge ourselves before that day will come and we will see everything in black and white in front of us. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, those who fear the punishment of the Lord. And punishment, if not in this world, God forbid in Akhirah. That's the rule. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely, the torment of the Lord is nothing to feel secure from. If we feel secure, then I'm not worried about it. We should be okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. No one should feel secure from it, and the time we feel that I'm secure from that punishment, that's the time when the person, God forbids, is getting towards it. Because a person who's worried about something will always work towards saving himself against it. We all are worried about losing wealth and of poverty, losing our work, so every day and night we are working towards that direction. Get up early in the morning, irrespective of what the situation is, it's snowing out there, and it's still, oh, that's fine, I can make it to work. And it was only raining, I can't go to Salah today. It's raining too heavy. So, this is what the worries would do to us. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. The punishment of Allah is nothing to feel secure about. And the time the person will feel secure that, okay, I have done enough, feeling secure simply means I have so many of good deeds that I'm going to Jannah. That's telling us we don't know the greatness of Allah. Comparing to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our deeds, subhanallah, what is our deed? Our deeds are nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, with all of that ibadah, he used to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. Ya Allah, I am not able to serve you the way I'm supposed to serve you. So who are we to say that we served him enough and now I deserve the Jannah wal-Iyazu billah? As far as what we deserve, we all know what we deserve according to our deeds. But if we work hard for the deen of Allah, we can have a great hope. And believe me, this hope will do a lot for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, and the hadith is hadith al-Qudusi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Whatever my servants will hope from me, I would fulfill his hopes. But of course, the hadith is telling us, provided we work towards that direction. It's not that the person is sleeping and he says, yeah, I know inshallah, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, I'm going to Jannah. I have a great hope that Allah will take me to Jannah. We never do that with anything else. Allah is Razzaq also. Allah is Razzaq, alhamdulillah, I know that He's the provider. Let me sleep, I don't have to go to work today. Call my workplace and tell them I'm quitting because Allah is Razzaq. We never do that. So Allah is Razzaq, Allah is Ghafoor. Why, when it comes to Ghafoor, no, I'll go to Jannah without work.
And when it comes to a zakh, I have to work for myself. You know, this is my responsibility. We have to realize. All of these things mean Allah is the real provider and He's the real doer of all of these things, but we have to work. Prove that we care about it. And we have some worry about it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will fulfill our needs also towards any direction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. This is one of the habits and the qualities He would like to develop. He would like us to develop. And that is to fear the punishment of Allah, because the punishment of Allah is nothing to feel secure from. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some more qualities that the ayahs, inshallah, continue. We can talk about in our next sessions. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.